Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
So today I want to talk to you guys a little bit about promises. Funny, because Bruce, you actually shared it, you know, about promises and covenant and what you were saying, and I'm like, man, he's stealing my message. It happens that way, because we're all working and operating with the Holy Spirit, right? And then the next thing you know, it's like, I used to have that happen to me all the time. The senior pastor would be like, dude, you know, when you were doing the offering message or you're sharing during communion, you took my key point. You took my message. You robbed me of my pinnacle moment. And I'm like, I didn't know. It was just the Holy Spirit was just sharing with me what he shared with you, I guess. But it's funny that way. But have you ever made a promise to somebody before?
Yeah.
Everybody go, yes, I have. Have you ever made a promise and then did you keep it? I've made promises and I've kept them. And then I've made other promises, right? And, you know, but think about it. Promises are made every day, all around us. We're going through stuff. We're doing things. And, you know, we always have the best intentions, don't we? When we're making that promise, it's like, I really want to do this. I really want to make this happen. And then what? We don't follow through. Something comes up, promises get broken. And here's what I want to share with you. You know, when we operate in life and we go through people making promises to us and then not keeping them, what it does is it actually breaks trust. Okay, it breaks trust. And let me give you a few promises that are frequently broken in life, okay? Let's talk about this. So we'll still be best friends forever. Then they leave, or they drop the relationship, or they just, life happens. You move away to college. We were best friends in high school. What happened? How about this one? You can call me anytime. Right, Bruce? Hey, man, just give me a call. Yeah, man, you can call me anytime. And then what happens? You get ghosted. They don't call you back, or, you know, and you really, and you feel like, oh, man, you said I could call you anytime. How about this one? I'll always be there no matter what. Have you heard that one before? I promise I'll be there. And they're not. They're not there when you really need them. So I'll do one more. How about this one? I love you. Promise, I love you. And they break up with you. They tear your heart out. Anybody ever been there? Everyone's like, yeah, man, that was seventh grade for me. Middle school, you know. You remember when you're in middle school, the first crush you ever had, you're like, oh, I'm in love. I've told this story before, but a few of you may not have heard it, but I went to live with I went to visit my grandmother, and we were into the skating rink back then, right, Dee? Dee knows. We were at the skating rink. And I went to the skating rink in Fort Pierce where my grandma lived, and I met this girl. And I was in love, right? So I get done skating, and I go back with my mom. I'm riding home in the car. I'm like, I am moving to live with Grammy. I am leaving you and I'm moving and relocating to Fort Pierce because I've found the one. In seventh grade. But, you know, anytime we get into the words always or no matter what, it seems to be dangerous, doesn't it? So we got to be careful about that. Why? Because things change. Situations and circumstances will change. They'll move on and things happen, okay? Here's what happens is promises actually begin to fade away into what we call good intentions, right? We always have the best intentions and we make promises and then they kind of fade away as the situations and circumstances change. You know, I have actually broken some promises. I'm going to be a little transparent with you. My wife will love this in the second service. She's taking care of her mother right now, but I'm going for it. You guys ready? So promises that I've broken. I told my wife, I will read the Bible with you every day, honey. Her constant knock on my heart is, can we read the Bible today? Can we read the Bible today? Yeah, we can. And we do. I mean, I do, but I don't. Every day I don't. Probably need to a lot more than I do, right? Because it means something to her. How about this? Have you ever told the kids, oh yeah, we're going to Disney. We're going to do this. We're going to go. We're going to go camping. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then, oh man, work called. I'm sorry. Guys are like really quiet today. I'm not done. I'm going to swing it. I promise. It's going to be good. Because many of us have broken promises. Think about this. Many of you are trying so hard right now to recover from broken promises that people have made you in your life. You're trying to recover from promises that weren't kept, from people that said things to you and then didn't follow through. And it's created broken trust in you, in your life. Like, well, I don't trust you anymore. I don't trust anybody anymore. My heart's broken all the time. I can't depend on anybody. I don't have any trust for anyone anymore because I've had so many broken promises in my life. We're trying to overcome that. Some of you are just trying to overcome that trust that has been broken in your life. Because trust is believing in the integrity of others. And we believe that, and then we get let down, and then we get to this place where it's like hard to even believe that anything can work out. We don't trust anybody. And that's a dangerous place. You know why? Because then you don't trust God either. You think he's going to break his promises. So what happens is we actually fall into this place where I consider it this. We become people with trust issues. Anybody in here have trust issues? Okay, you all do. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to prove it right now. Are you ready? First sign that you have trust issues. You focus on the negative. Come on, I know none of you do, but I can focus on the negative sometimes. You're more likely to focus on that than anything else, okay? How about this one? You feel like you have to do everything because everybody's told you they would do it and they didn't, and now you have trust issues, so you just go and do it yourself. I'm that guy. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even gonna ask anybody anymore. I'm just gonna go do it. It'll be quicker. I don't have to deal with you. I don't have to have my trust broken again, my heart torn out, you know, because you said you were going to be here. I'll just go and do it myself. Don't you love a pastor that just preaches reality to you? How about this? You're suspicious of friends and family. Any suspicious people in here? It's like, what are you doing? What do you got going? All right, you ready for the next one? This one's going to hurt. You hold grudges. You hold grudges like, I am never never going to release you from this. You remember 23 years ago, 5 hours and 17 minutes and 32 seconds ago when you did that to me? We've been there. Some of you just pick fights because you have trust issues. You spy on people, you check their phones. You're like, my wife's like, what do you got? Right? None of you ever done that? So y'all are like, I'm not admitting that, Pastor. I'm not lifting my hand right now for that. How about this one? You smother people that you care about. Any smotherers in the room? Are you a smotherer? Aw, that's so sweet. Here's the rundown on smotherers. When people are in your inner circle, you protect them fiercely because you fear that they will leave you or that something bad will happen to you. See, this results in smothering, hovering, and codependent behavior in your relationships. You have trust issues. Last one, you ready? Fear of abandonment. Okay, a lot of us deal with this. A lot of anxiety in the world has been created by abandonment and the fear of abandonment. People are depressed and they're anxious and they're freaking out because they don't know who's going to do them wrong next. I just want to make this clear to you that that's not the God that we serve. Our God is not a God that is going to leave you hanging. He's not going to abandon you. He's not trying to smother you, okay? He is not holding a grudge against you when you do something wrong, when you sin. All of your punishment was placed on Jesus on that cross. So God is not holding a grudge against what you did last night. Amen. Thank God. He's not wanting you to feel like you have to do everything. Does that make sense? See, a lot of times we've put expectations on God and then said, well, they've let us down. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit did not come through for me because I told him how I wanted it done and he didn't do it that way, so now I don't trust him. It's true, isn't it? Come on. Let's be honest with ourselves. But that's not what our God looks like. Look here in Deuteronomy 31:8, it says this, and the Lord, he is the one that goes before you. He will be with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. What are trust issues? It's fear. You're afraid that God isn't going to show up for you. I'm here today to tell you, God will always show up for you. He's not even having to show up because he never left. He's right there with you. He is walking side by side with you in everything that you do in your life. Everything. But yet, he's not holding a grudge. But yet, he will not abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. Where people have fallen short in your life, every time, people will let you down. They will fall short because they are people. But God is not people.
That's good.
God never breaks a promise.
Amen to that.
Never. Give me one more, Barbara. That was good. Give me one more. Amen. Come on, give me one more. All right, there we go. Thanks. All right, that's good. All right, so God's idea of a promise is called a covenant. Say covenant. It's kind of a Christianese word. It's the world, you say, hey, I'm under covenant. They're like, whoa, he's in a cult. Right? The world doesn't necessarily understand all of our biblical terms like sanctification, redemption, and justification, and all those beautiful things that Scripture tells us that we have that everybody's like, what is that? Okay, but you know, this is another one. It's called covenant. See, we have a covenant God. He makes promises and he will never abandon those promises for you in your life. You know, what was the first promise that God made in the Bible? It was all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And God is actually speaking to Satan. Okay? And he's saying, I will put enmity or conflict between your seed and the woman's seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Look at that scripture for a second. You see, the very first promise that God made to you was a promise of victory. I'm going to give you victory over the enemy in your life. What does that look like? He's talking about enmity between you and the woman. He's telling Satan, the woman is going to have enmity, I can never say that right, between your seed and her seed. That means that there is a seed that is coming from Eve all the way from the beginning, and Satan is sowing his seed into the world. You know that, right? That the demonic realm is sowing its seed into the world, and God is like, I'm going to put a enmity between you. I'm going to make sure that you lose. But look how he said that she is, her seed is, it says her seed, and then it goes, he shall bruise your head, capital H, and you shall bruise his, capital H, heel. See, that's talking about Jesus right there. All the way in Genesis 3:15, Jesus is on the scene already. It's prophetically being spoken that he will come, he's going to bruise the enemy's head, and you're going to bruise his heel, because all he's going to be doing is stomping you into the ground. His heel's going to hurt from crushing you in life, devil. Right? So then we see God making his covenant even more clear. Is his first real covenant that he made was with Abraham. How many of you guys have heard of the story of Abraham? A few of you? Abraham was the first Jew. He was the person that God chose to bring forth the Jewish nation and God's people into the earth. And God made a covenant with him. He made four promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. One was that there would be land. Second would be that he would make his descendants so numerous. Okay, and then there would be blessing on all of them. Okay, and then the last one was blessings would go through him for all nations. You see, Abraham was the first Jew. Jesus was brought through the descendants of Abraham into the world. And then from that point, blessing came for all nations, okay? It was a covenant of blood, okay? There was, the first covenant was made, and God gave that ram in the thicket, you know? Abraham took his son Isaac, and God said, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And everybody in here would go, if God came to you and said, I need you to go take your son up, and I want you to kill him on the mountain, we'd all be like, you know, if your neighbor or somebody said their church told them to do that, what would you think? You'd be like, that's crazy talk, man. But you know what? This is our Bible. This is where God was at. But there's a reason that God did that, okay? And God rescued Isaac in the last moment, and he brought a ram into the thicket for Abraham to kill. But do you realize that God was actually just showing Abraham the commitment that he was willing to make to redeem everybody, to redeem mankind, that God was going to give his son? And he was going to sacrifice his son. That's why Abraham was the man of faith that he was, and the covenant that he had was so powerful because Abraham got a picture of what God was going to do for all of us, and that he was going to bring that sacrifice through the descendants of Abraham. Do you see it? It's actually what we call a type and a shadow of something that's going to come. The Bible has a lot of different ones, like the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea was a type and shadow of God delivering us from sin. But But it was a covenant that God made with Abraham. He said all nations would be blessed. Now, how many guys know that includes us?
Amen.
Say, I am all nations. I have been blessed by God's promises to Abraham. You have been blessed right here today, sitting in your seat. You are experiencing all of the blessings that were given through Abraham in that very first covenant when he said, I am going to put enmity between the woman's seed and your seed. You are the seed of God's fruit that came through the first covenant that he made with Abraham. Because you have accepted the gift of Jesus in your life, and now you have been made whole. You have been made righteous. Now you actually have access to God because Jesus has made you perfect. Not by your own means, but because he loved you, he gave his self for you. So that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be the righteousness of God in him. Does that make sense? So that was the first covenant, but it was bound by the law. So we see a picture of God judging so many times in the Old Testament. It's like, gosh, God really seems mean. But what God was doing is he's trying to preserve the line that Jesus was going to come through. And through that, we begin to see God moving and setting up and making the play to bring the Messiah, Jesus, his son, into the world through Abraham's seed. See, Abraham's covenant was according to the law and the Ten Commandments, but we have a new covenant that we operate under through Jesus Christ in our life. It's right here in Hebrews chapter 7, okay? Look at this. It says, for if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, then no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. You see, even God's having a problem with people breaking their promises, right? And he says, this is the covenant that I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all, what? Know me. From the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more.
Hallelujah.
Come on. We're under a new covenant. Under the old covenant, we were condemned by the law, and the law brought sin to life in us. But through Christ, that sin has been dealt with on the cross once and for all, and you've been released through grace to be all that God has called you to be in your life. You see, God's covenant in Christ is a new covenant and a better covenant. Does that make sense? So God has made a new promise to you. You know, the title of the message is, I Promise. God has promised that if you would believe on Jesus Christ, if you will believe in his son, he will wash your sins away. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and he will help you to walk out this thing that's called life and to be who you need to be. You can never be good enough on your own, so Jesus became good enough for you. And he made you good enough even though you're not. It's called grace. Say, I'm good enough. If you believe that, you're walking in the new covenant. You can walk right into the throne room of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, perfect and holy before God, even though you've got sin in your life because of what Jesus has done for you. That's how powerful it is. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my what? Blood. Do this whenever you drink it, remembrance of me. We just took communion today. What were we celebrating? That we have a new covenant, a new promise from God that we have been set free.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for discipleship encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Attention young adults, get ready to be launched. August 12th at 6:30 p.m., Launch Young Adult Ministry will be starting, and you don't want to miss out. There's going to be food, fun, and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you into where God wants you to be. This is going to be located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in the Double Bubble Building. So come on out and get ready to be launched. For more information about launch, check us out at our website at ourlighthouse.net or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministry.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.